flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leonard gets the snap. Back to throw, Riley Leonard. Rolls to his right at his 20. Leonard sails that middle of the field where it's caught by Greathouse. He's tackled at the 40. Tackled by Jordan Hancock and Ohio State. National champions beating Notre Dame tonight. 34-23, the ninth national championship in Ohio State history.
Gonna be honest, a little subdued. Paul Keels on Learfield, kind of like ho-hum when I thought this capped one of the great runs, if not the greatest run, to a national championship in college football history. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I can tell I'm on an island with this one.
Greatest
by the
run
way you're looking at me.
Yeah. I think that call was so inappropriate. It's like, it just feels like more of a sigh of relief than jubilation. Like, oh, thank God we pulled that off.
But that's what happens with great teams. Like, you're telling me that if the Kansas City Chiefs win their third, it's going to be a little bit of a sigh of relief. There was so much pressure on Ohio State, and this is where I'm going to give them all the credit in the world. The coach has a record now of 70-10. Fan base legit doesn't like him.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a unique situation. Like, you can't lose to Michigan every year when you're the Ohio State coach. We all know that.
Okay, but, like, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater here. Like, you are recruiting at a high level. You are getting tons of talent. You're sending guys to the NFL at a high clip. And now you just won a national title. And it still doesn't feel like everyone's ready to jump on board with Ryan Day. Like, what more does this guy need to do?
Well, you're recruiting or the program is recruiting. I think that's what critics would say. And also, too, like, there was Ryan Day, and now he's finally got rid of that label that he was just winning with Urban Meyer's team.
Sure.
So now this title was huge. I mean, it was enormous. It was a sea change. But this idea that this was an impressive run, they were favored in every game. They were the favorite of the whole tournament coming in. Like, I feel like the take on this is like, yeah, they should have won. And even last night, you saw a little bit of, like, the Ohio State experience. Like, they were obviously the far superior team last night because Notre Dame had injuries. Like, there's no doubt. Like, there's no one who watched those two teams and said Ohio State shouldn't kill this team. But they got conservative on play calling and let Notre Dame scrap their way back into the game. That's why I think this team frustrates people a little bit.
Because they're not maxing out their potential. They just won the title. Like, does it really matter about the style points? I mean, they won it. They beat Tennessee. They beat Oregon. They beat Texas. And now they just beat Notre Dame.
I mean, find a bigger run. I mean, Tennessee, Texas, and Oregon, I don't know. I feel like Georgia had to beat, like, Alabama at their peak in 2021. Like, it just felt like this was kind of an easier run.
You got to be kidding.
I mean, obviously, for Georgia to beat a fully loaded, non-NIL era Alabama team is clearly more impressive to me than Ohio State running through this field.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. If you're talking about the pre-NIL era, well, Georgia was stacking 5 stars also, just like Alabama.
Yeah, but Ohio State is at the last pre-NIL era roster we'll ever see. This is never happening again. You're never going to see all these superstars in one place.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that because these dudes could have gone other places and made a decision to all come back. And they probably could have gotten maybe more money, but I'm just wondering if, you know, is an extra 10 grand worth it for some of these guys? Maybe an extra 100 grand is worth it, but extra 10, 20, it's not like Ohio State is not being competitive here. In fact, they had the most expensive roster, but it also took dudes saying no thanks to the NFL to come back. Now, maybe it's easier because you do have this, you know, you are making money in college, but they're going to make more in the NFL, guys.
Right, right. Like, but I mean, they weren't. I don't know that Sawyer and JTT were first round picks. I think the problem was this year's JTT maybe, but even toward the end, I'm not sure he was a first round pick. It wasn't like they were like top five picks. It's not like Cam Ward going back or something.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I think you got to give him a little bit of credit. They came back. They wanted to do this thing. It got as dark as it could possibly get. You were a 20-point favorite to Michigan. You blew it. And then you could have folded. And everyone could have gone their separate ways. And instead, they band together. And I'm just not going to agree with you that this was not an impressive run. Tennessee was a top defense playing in the top conference in the country in the SEC. Oregon was the deserving number one overall team in the country. Texas was basically playing a home game at the Cotton Bowl. And Texas also had one of the great defenses. And then, listen, was this Notre Dame team a little compromised? Sure, but you play who you play. Like, does anyone think that Georgia's championship over TCU is less impressive?
I mean, but you can't do this as the most impressive run and say you play who you play in the same paragraph.
Well, you had to win four games to get through this.
So is next year going to be the second most impressive team by that definition?
So I think they're going to tweak things. Like, I think that you are going to get a... I think the college football playoff is going to tweak stuff to make it better for and a little bit more deserving, I guess, for the top seeds, because I think they want to keep the conference champion as a thing because conference championship games are such a cash cow. So I don't know if you're ever going to get this hard of a run where you're an eighth seed and you have to take on all these higher seeds and you end up getting to the title.
That you're favored over in every single game.
Well, but you know what? Like, I can't just play this by what Vegas says.
But they were clear. I mean, that wasn't just Vegas. Everybody thought they were favored. I mean, why would you not think they're favored? Look at their team. Jeremiah Smith's 19 years old, and he could be a Pro Bowl wide receiver in the NFL right now.
Yeah, but yeah, I know he had one catch in the second half.
They handed that game to Michigan. I know. Their choice.
It was the biggest catch of the game, by the way. Put the nail in the coffin of Notre Dame.
I there's so many points I did, little points that I would take a different way that I can't even remember all of them now. But just this run, next year's run might be harder because I think the committee came under a lot of pressure for ignoring strength of schedule. What if they bring that into play next year and it's a harder field? Because I don't think you're going to have your Indianas and those teams anymore next year.
But no one
you might bring in like the big SEC teams again. Like you might have to go through an older Ole Miss team like Alabama. Like you might have to play a much harder schedule next year.
Okay, but I understand maybe if you want to nitpick Notre Dame's side of the bracket, and even I wouldn't do that because they had to beat Georgia, but Georgia was with a backup quarterback. But I don't think you can nitpick Ohio State's part of the bracket. This is two SEC teams, Tennessee and Texas.
You keep saying SEC teams, but they're not Georgia and Alabama. You understand that, right?
Well, but this Georgia team was not the Georgia team of years past. So even if they did get by this Georgia team, I don't think you would give them a lot of credit. But you beat two SEC teams in Tennessee and Texas, and you beat the number one team in the country.
Yeah, but
Like, impressive. I don't know what more you want here because they didn't beat Alabama. Alabama didn't deserve to be in this bracket by these rules.
I'm just looking at, like, the 2019 LSU team. Like, they beat Alabama at their peak. And then they beat, like, a really good Georgia team. And then they beat Clemson. Like, it just felt like there used to be a battle of titans. And these now is sort of, it's just a way different sport. It's much closer to the NCAA tournament where it's teams are much closer in talent level. You're not seeing the Giants floating around throwing haymakers at each other anymore. Like that era is gone. Now it's much more just like it's going to be matchup oriented. It's going to be thin margins. Like Ohio State was able to just bully Notre Dame because Notre Dame was hurt. Like Notre Dame just didn't have the talent or the energy to pull that off last night. But I think you're going to have a lot more like 2010 to 2020 college basketball where you're going to see teams like Butler get through the final game. It's just going to be matchup oriented. I don't know. I just like there was nothing about this run that's most impressive. There's got to be more impressive. It's like even 2014, like they rolled through some good teams. They blew out these good teams. 2014, thank God Ohio State wasn't conservative. Like they just got out on the field and just whooped everybody. This team was more like, all right, we're going to, you know, we're going to win, and it's going to, we're going to make sure we survive this gauntlet. It just didn't feel like, and you said like other teams are relief. Like, remember when Joe Burrow won the title and they all were smoking cigars? That team was like a win and like, and excitement, and it was really fun, and you went along the ride. This Ohio State team is completely different.
That 2014 Ohio State team lost to Virginia Tech. I don't know.
They got it.
Okay, fine. I don't know.
They had Cardale Jones throwing for 350 yards. That was amazing.
He was on the sideline, by the way, yesterday, so that was cool to see. And Maurice Clarett was also on the sideline, has been welcomed back to Ohio State. And I like to see Jim Tressel back. Like, these guys, I didn't think anything they did was so egregious that they shouldn't be back and welcomed in by their alma mater. That always seemed kind of crazy. We're asking you a question, a couple of them. Most impressive or least impressive run to a national championship for Ohio State? I'm saying most, Perloff saying least, or thereabouts. And also, is Ohio State likable? See, I did not think we were going to be asking ourselves that question today. I get polarizing teams, New York Yankees, Duke basketball, Dallas Cowboys, Notre Dame at one point.
I'm surprised. Like, Ohio State is definitely in that group.
I didn't realize there was a backlash. I don't know. Like, scrappy Ohio blue collar.
What are you talking about? Ohio State football?
Well, they are the cream of the crop, but in terms of like the fan base, I don't, you know, there's like a, it feels like more of a blue collar crowd than an arrogant Michigan feels like more of the champagne crowd, right? Notre Dame, a little more of the champagne crowd. Yankees, Dallas Cowboys. What are these associated with? Just being super rich. I think that Ohio State is always like the, we're going to out, I don't know, just there's a toughness that they rely on that's not a, like, I don't know, is it arrogance? Is it earned?
I don't know.
They have a confidence.
I'm not sure what college you're talking about. It's like one of the two or three biggest colleges. It's definitely one of the two or three richest. It's gigantic. I mean, it's not Texas rich, but it's super rich. Like Ohio State, that's some snooty crowds. I've been to the Shoe. Like, there's some big parties. You know how rich Ohio State alumni are?
But snooty? Nothing from the state of Ohio is snooty.
It might be just LeBron, but there's like a bit of a Yankees vibe with Ohio State. Like, we're going to just sort of buy this great team. That's going on with this Ohio State team. Like,
they're definitely not a Rust Belt team is a snooty team. I don't get that.
Well, Michigan's a Rust Belt. If you don't call them snooty, then you're not watching Michigan.
Yeah, but there was always this thing about, the Michigan men and their academics are so good. It's impossible to get into Michigan if you're not from in-state and stuff like that. I don't know. I didn't think that Ohio State, I thought they wanted to be the anti-Michigan.
According to Business Insider, Ohio State is number 4 on the list of richest public institutions in the U.S.
Yeah.
All right.
Ohio State.
What are the
lot,
first three?
A lot of
it's got to be Michigan and
you got
Texas.
Number 1, Texas A&M. Number 2, Michigan. Number 3, Virginia.
Wait, what's the question? Oh, public universities. Yeah. Where's public, North Carolina? They're not in there.
They're number 10.
Huh.
Okay, let's
endowment
go.
Endowment $2.6 billion for North Carolina. Ohio State's endowment $3.6 billion.
Listen, good work if you can get it. Big Dave is in Kentucky. He's got a perspective on Ohio State and whether or not they're likable. Hey, Dave.
Morning, guys. As someone who lives in a border state to Ohio, the great state of Kentucky, I live exactly 3 hours south of Columbus, Ohio. I have a ton of relatives who are Ohio State fans, live in the state. Some are even alum. And I can declare without a doubt that they are the most arrogant fan base on the face of the earth.
Okay.
The irony is the big rivalry with them in Michigan, you could change out their fan gear, and if you would talk to them, you would never know them apart. They're exactly alike. Yeah. You would think by talking to an Ohio State fan that they have won 20 of the last 50 national championships. They're the most arrogant people. And Max, I cannot believe, see, here's what happens. Once they lost to Michigan, then people like you start looking at them like they're some kind of an underdog. Well, they should have been dominating the entire year. And it's compelling because of Ryan Day. Ohio State fans are so arrogant, they hate each other. They're trying to run this coach out of town. It's just, they're the worst. They are the worst.
Dave, I get it. I get your unique perspective. I think that's funny about if you change clothes, you wouldn't know who's Michigan and who's Ohio State. And don't you need a little bit of that lack of self-awareness to make a rivalry truly great? Dave, before we let you go, we know that at one point you were a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. You kind of wrote them off, picked up the Cincinnati Bengals. That didn't go great. Who do you want to be the next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
You're going to laugh when I say this, right? Well, who I would like to see is not going to happen. I would like to see Mike Tomlin. That's not going to happen. You know what, Maggie, I'm all in. Bring primetime in. I mean, bring all the elephants in. Let's just take this circus to a new level. And the only thing about it is, you know, in all reality, I will say this. If primetime Sanders, Deion Sanders, does come to the Dallas Cowboys, then it probably means that he's laid the law down to Jerry. You know, I'm not coming unless I get this, this, and this. Mm. Whether or not Jerry will ever do it or not, I don't know. But, yeah, if I was a Dallas Cowboys fan, it would be prime time because if he comes, it's going to be with the stipulations to Jerry that this is my show, keep your ass in the office, and y'all don't care how many press conferences a week you do, but I'm running the team.
Yeah. In other words, don't come, because I don't think Jerry's saying yes to that, Dave. Do you think that Jerry probably would not do that?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? At this point, who knows? It's so comical. And listen, one more thing real quick, too.
Yeah.
So I guess the Bears are finalizing the deal with Johnson. You know, I find it really interesting. Like, there's a debate over, well, is this automatic? Do we know this is going to work to start with?
Thank you.
There's been a long track record, okay, of offensive coordinators who have bombed as head coaches because it's two separate jobs.
Yeah,
it's a coordinator's job and a head coach's job is two entirely different things. A head coach's job, he's the field CEO. He has to manage the whole corporation. He has to be a leader of men. He has to hold people accountable. It's not an offensive coordinator's job.
I don't know. I see a lot of Kyle Shanahan, Andy Reid, and Sean McVay in Super Bowls, Dave.
I'm sorry?
I see a lot of Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay's in Super Bowls. It feels like play calling is a big deal.
Yeah, you see a lot of Gates who aren't, right?
Who? Gates?
Adam Gates.
Oh, yeah.
Gates. Right.
Gates, yeah, yeah.
No, yeah, but I mean, he's not a play caller on the level with Shanahan. Like, I think that's the way to win in the NFL is have an elite play caller.
Dave, I'm with you. I think we're crowning Ben Johnson way too soon. Dave, thanks for the call, for the perspective. Always love talking to the warden. We're going to get into Ben Johnson taking the Chicago Bears job, reported.
Yeah, I do think everyone's excited about Ben Johnson. Everyone also is counterbalanced by, like, they think that the Chicago Bears will never have a good offense
based on
105 years of history. And so, oh, actually, no, 80 years, because Sid Gilman was good. Sid Luckman? Who is the Bears quarterback? Manny, who is that, the 40? Which Sid? Sid Gilman or Luckman? He's like,
man, he's like, there was a quarterback named Sid.
Sidney Crosby?
Sid Vicious?
I'm actually impressed you knew Sidney Crosby.
I don't think you know who Sid Vicious is.
I've never heard of that name in my life.
See, told you, EJ. EJ, I'm kind of surprised you know who Sid Vicious is.
I'm familiar with Luckman. I don't know who that other dude is. Victorious, what'd you say?
Yeah, that's not Andrew Luck.
Sid Vicious is a wrestler. Sid, who was named after the original guy. I don't know who the original guy was.
There we go.
Sid Luckman.
I knew, EJ, there's no way you know who's, well, not no way, I'm sure there's a way, but I would have been shocked if you knew who Sid Vicious was. That's way before your time.
No, I was watching Sid Vicious wrestle for the WCW title in 1999,
yeah.
And then I was informed later in life that he was named after someone else.
99?
Yeah.
And he's like, what is this foreign time that you speak of when something had a one in front of it?
I provided nothing to society back in 99.
But society existed in 99.
I got a brewing show bet. So the Bears have never had a 4,000-yard passer. Will you be willing to bet me that Ben Johnson will not get a 4,000-yard passer in his tenure?
Listen,
that is such a low bar. That franchise has never had a 4,000-yard passer.
Yeah, yet people think that Ben Johnson is going to come in and all of a sudden this thing is going to be the greatest show on turf.
He's got to get to 4K. I think he could get to 4K.
855-212-4227. Okay, we've got the coaching carousel. We'll get to that in a moment. More fallout and the backlash to Ohio State is on the table for you. Do they deserve it? At 855-212-4227.
All right, Maggie, I know the college football is over, but there's still so much to do on Prize Picks. It's the best place to win cash while watching all kinds of sports, over 10 million members, billions of dollars in award winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. The app is really simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport. You have everything on there tonight. I've already looked. Pick more or less on their projection, and you can win up to 1,000 times your money.
Absolutely love the combination of two of our faves, college basketball Perloff, paired together with the NHL. It's just perfect, and it's all on Prize Picks right now. Prize Picks accepting major credit cards for quick and easy deposits into your account, and also available in 40-plus states, including our good friends in California and Texas. Perloff and I have become obsessed with Prize Picks this season. Get on board with us. Let's have some fun. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. You get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to get the $50 bonus because it's guaranteed. The best word in the English language, guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game, must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I just realized, I didn't know this. Perloff has a turtle, a tortoise. Hermes lives on their balcony in New York City.
He lives in the house.
Oh, yeah. In the summer, I thought he lives on the balcony.
No.
Oh, okay. I just found out, bogus. You guys also have a turtle?
Yeah, we. That was my daughter's. My daughter wanted a turtle. After we turtle sat last summer. There's a turtle amongst many animals in the school like lab, and they send some of the animals home with kids because no one's in the building. So we had a turtle last summer, and it was pretty cool. It was pretty fun. So she wanted her own turtle. It took a while to find the correct type for our setup, but we have the same species as the Perloff family.
So this is like the tortoise that like outlives the humans. By the way,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm gonna call BS on this.
Yeah.
A turtle's not a fun pet. A Labrador Retriever is a fun pet.
So let me, relatively speaking, the turtle is, at least in my estimation and my daughter's, surprisingly entertaining.
What is going on? Most tortoises and don't do anything.
I'm not like, we're not playing catch or fetch, obviously. But the turtles, it's moving around, it's climbing stuff.
Yeah, it climbs like crazy.
I think your expectation is so low that it does anything, and you're like, this is awesome.
No, I think you've got the wrong read on turtles.
I totally understand what Maggie is saying, because I thought that until I owned a tortoise, because we had one at the local science center and never did anything. I'm like, why would anyone want one of these? They just sit there. But then what happens is, you take care of it. I feed it lettuce every day.
Mm-hmm.
I've come to love it. I call it my third child. And it's it has the brain the size of a pin. I actually fantasize about like, well, if the crap ever comes down and we got to get out of town fast, how am I going to get Hermes out of here? He's definitely the third child. I always say
said you'd throw him over the balcony.
I might, because I don't want him to suffer. But honestly,
you can't mercy kill a tortoise.
Well, I don't know if the tortoise would die if you threw him off the balcony.
Right.
8 floors. I have no idea what would happen. He'd probably bounce right up and he'd be like, where's my dandelions?
By the way, PETA shouldn't come after us. Nobody is going to be throwing a tortoise off the balcony, but you did suggest it once. I just, I can't believe that a tortoise is actually a fun pet.
We
fun
had this,
pets are like, yeah. I don't know, cool fish and, or maybe not fish.
Yeah,
cool
fish.
Dogs.
Tortoises are cooler than fish.
Right. And the allure might wear off, but like, I just watched the dude live. It's fun.
We actually had a funny text. This all happened during Christmas break, and that's why I think that you were, we forgot, we should have brought it back, but my tortoise had never met another tortoise, and that was a subject. I don't know if we talked on the phone about this.
Did you guys have a play date?
Well, I don't know. Is it a play date or is it a date?
Mating season?
Is it bow chicka bow wow with you and Bogus's tortoise?
I don't have the slightest idea if my tortoise is male or female.
I believe ours is a male.
Did they tell you or? Because I don't see anything going on down there. There's a tail.
Yeah, I think the guy
lift up
in like the reptile store said, I don't know how old it actually is, but it's a guy.
Yeah.
Does he, got, and he rings the doorbell and it's the pizza man going after Perloff's tortoise.
We bought it from in a neighborhood called Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn, because it was the only tortoise we could find. Yeah. Like, they're very hard to find. I don't know why.
Especially a dry land.
Dry land one. Yeah. So we drove to 4 Petcos and ended up in a neighborhood that was 2 hours away. And it was some teenager who gave us all sorts of dubious facts about pet care. You know, he was like some...
He's like, feed it Big Macs.
Yeah, he was like, he was just trying to make a paycheck. He's like, yeah.
He's like, what do I have to do to put you in this tortoise today?
He basically said, I think it's a guy too, so... I don't know. And you don't take a tortoise to a vet, so we've never seen a doctor.
So we didn't do the traditional pet store, like, wasn't helpful because most of those are aquatic turtles, which we didn't want. That's a whole other level of care and commitment. So we went to, like, out on Long Island, like, basically, like, Reptile World, this place that had all covering on the windows so they could control the atmosphere inside. You walk in, and you're, like, in a rainforest.
There's
snakes. There's lizards. Yeah.
Okay. No, they're all caged. Just out.
And there's 8 different kinds of turtles. And the guy behind the desk is basically.
Try to catch one. He's basically. You can catch it, you can keep it.
Whatever you get your hands on.
If you survive.
Just give me a bag.
Yeah. You actually pay by the half hour.
The guy's basically like an American Steve Irwin's got all these facts. And it was amazing. It was great. We was like, here, take this, take
that
this.
Sounds like
you
a
this,
money, like a
this.
Front for money laundering, well, especially Long Island.
Don't go in the back.
If there are any parents listening and the kid wants an aquatic turtle, do not do it. Because basically, like, it's harder to feed your aquatic turtle than your child. Like, I think they have to eat living things.
Yep.
And, like, a lot of reptiles have to eat living things. Like, there, you have to feed frozen mice to snakes. You have to feed some animals need live mice. Like, this is, like,
yeah.
Crazy stuff going on out there in reptile world.
Yeah.
I know, because I spent a lot of time in pet stores. That was an activity for my children. Or like shelters. And there's this also, there's cat cafe. My kids just want to go anywhere where animals are.
But you don't walk into a shelter and see a turtle.
But no doubt. Oh, yeah. There's a huge turtle giveaway in Brooklyn. Turtle / tortoise. Because they live for 110 years.
Yep.
So you have to, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal about people willing their tortoise. And Bogus and I will have to think about that. In fact, the tortoise will outlive my kids. Maggie, you have no idea. By the way, it's better than a dog because I don't have to wake up at 4 o'clock and take the darn right. thing out but to it, the bathroom.
Not okay. chewing my shoes. I mean, not peeing in the corner, nothing.
Okay, but how about dog is man's best friend and you guys are trying to convince me that a turtle is exciting?
It gets even weirder in my family. My kids want a dog desperately, but my youngest daughter's like, I can't do it because the thought of losing that dog in 15 years is too much for me to handle.
She's
I was like, oh my God.
Pre-grieving a dog that she doesn't own.
She's like, I can't. I've just had friends who've lost dogs. I don't want to do that. All and right. I was like, wow, that's a really good reason.
Yeah, no, I relate to that. Yeah, I still have Lita.
And our boss, Spike Eskin, is a huge dog advocate. We know, like, follow Twitter. It's heartbreaking. It's like losing a family member in some ways.
I know. I've lost a dog. It's really, really sad.
Yeah, I have too.
What about the memories you created along the way? Like, when I think about my awesome dog, I think about all the fun that we had. I don't think about it.
Nah, I think, tell Emma that. She wants nothing to do. She's like, give me the tortoise. Even that is a little emotional for us.
Just give me the tortoise because I know it'll outlive me.
The third child. Yeah. Also, super fun to figure out. I'm like, oh, okay, is he in a romaine this week or is he like
arugula?
Yeah, is arugula? No, arugula is way too bitter. Hermes is, come on, for his delicate palate? What are you, crazy?
You like feeding your tortoise organic lettuce?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. A little spring mix.
And I actually thought about this, we'll get on to sports in 2 seconds. I was like, should I pick some of these dandelions out on the street and give them to the turtle?
You know how many dogs have taken a whiz on those dandelions?
Yeah, but like that's nature. Like right. That's how they eat. They don't eat clean food out of nature, but I was worried about pesticides.
Probably smart.
My daughter has plans to grow stuff in our backyard in the spring to then feed to the turtle.
Microgreens.
We should do a show thing where we get the two tortoises together and see what happens. Although it might get a little R-rated.
It might take 3 weeks for something to happen.
I was going
to
say, do they even aware of each other? I don't know. There's something even I'm less interested in is just watching a turtle is watching a turtle have sex with another turtle. There's nothing about
that.
Don't
knock it till you try it.
Yeah, I gotta tell you.
No thanks.
That's the first place, the Philadelphia Zoo. That's the first place Andrew ever saw two animals getting it on with these two giant tortoises. Why is that one tortoise trying to climb over the other tortoise?
Why is he sleeping on top of the other tortoise?
He can't quite make it over there.
Looks happy, though.
Okay. On a side note, those things are immense at the Philadelphia Zoo.
Oh, the giant turtles? Tortoises? Yeah. Is that it? Oh, I thought every zoo had those.
I don't think the Bronx Zoo has them, but the Philadelphia Zoo was a great zoo. They've got them. They're amazing.
And they've been around since like 1847. Like those things.
Do you think they're like an old married couple? It's like, oh, you want to have sex tonight?
I got a headache, Nancy.
Yeah. It's like,
it's been a long week.
It's the third Tuesday of the month. Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me guess.
It's the inauguration yesterday. It's the inauguration yesterday. That reminds me of when Andrew Jackson was put in 1826.
I thought you were going somewhere totally different. Yeah. Sports, headlines, lots of that stuff.
Oh, thanks.
Let's go.
Just like their season as a whole, the national title game in Atlanta could have been easier for Ohio State.
Howard under center. Hands to Judkins. Straight ahead goes Judkins and into the end zone for another touchdown. Quinshon Judkins, a one-yard jaunt to the end zone. His second rushing touchdown, his third of the night. And it's 27-7, Ohio State ahead of Notre Dame.
That's
for a
Paul.
Second, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say that seeing Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk in the front row was like, this is really turning me on. How many tech moguls can we put in one inauguration? It's too much. Too much sexy.
Although I thought that Zuckerberg got caught checking out Mrs. Bezos, right?
It looked like everyone got caught checking out Mrs. Bezos.
Yeah, but there's one picture. He's like just looking over her shoulder at her.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's the
worst.
Well,
you know what Seinfeld says about cleavage? It's like you got to get a sense of it and look away. It's like looking at the sun.
Oh, is that why that Seinfeld clip of George looking at cleavage was going around the internet yesterday? Yeah. I didn't see the original source.
Yeah, it was Zuckerberg.
The original source was Mrs. Bezos, but yeah.
That football highlight was Paul Keels from Learfield. Quinshon Judkins scored three times. The Buckeyes scored on their first five possessions for a 31-7 lead on the Irish last night. But it was 31-23 late in the fourth until Jaden Fielding's field goal with 26 seconds left, finally settled things. The quarterback of the Ohio State is Will Howard.
You get into big games like this, you know, whoever is able to, you know, have the poise and the noise and be able to, you know, overcome adversity, because it wasn't always pretty today. You know, it wasn't always perfect. And it's never going to be. But I think we, you know, the team that we have and, you know, the leadership that we have with Coach Day, I mean, just the resilience that this team has shown all year, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Howard had two touchdown passes last night. Notre Dame QB Riley Leonard accounted for three in the loss. This is Ohio State's first national title since 2014, number six overall. By the end of the day, the Jets could have their head coach and their new GM, Lions D coordinator Aaron Glenn and Commanders assistant GM Lance Newmark, appear to be a package deal, both getting their second interviews in Jersey today. Newmark was in Detroit with Glenn up until this season. The Bears, meanwhile, picked Lions OC Ben Johnson yesterday, shortly after Dan Campbell predicted he would lose both coordinators this cycle.
We've got guys on staff that I think are more than qualified and would be outstanding in those roles, but that does not mean that I'm not looking outside either. So I want what I believe is going to be as close to what we have been as possible.
As long as it doesn't involve Jamison Williams throwing passes from behind in the divisional round of the postseason.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, Ben Johnson has a great resume here. Obviously, he's got a good body of work with what he's done with Detroit, but that was such a dumb play call to me.
You guys are ridiculous. They had how many times did that play work? I mean, the play call. That play
running with Amon Ross St. Brown.
Long.
Like, don't run
like
with Jamison
Williams. Like, Amon Ross St. Brown has a better arm than Jamison Williams?
He's a lot smarter.
Yeah, right. Like, anyone but Jamison Williams.
If that had worked, there's no way you guys would be calling out that play call, though. You might have. If that had worked, then we wouldn't even be playing the result, in my opinion.
But to me, it had no chance to work because you were asking Jamison Williams to do that. That's the problem. KYP, know your personnel. He should know Jamison Williams is a knucklehead, and he was not going to throw the ball away.
To their commander's credit, they had that play scouted out, too.
They did.
The Lions have been running it multiple times.
Shouldn't have gambled on that one.
Well, Jamison screwed up, but like
I got it, Manny.
Very good. Jamison Williams got suspended for a parlay.
Same here.
Yeah, I think you guys are playing the result because, obviously, trick play. Do you think trick plays in general were good for the Lions? It's just that they call that guy's number?
Well,
because I love their trick plays.
So here's the thing. And you've said it from going back to the season. The one thing that gave you hope for your Philadelphia Eagles was Dan Campbell's risks on fourth down. And I think you can extend that to the risks of the a trick play is fine when it's week four or week 12 or whatever. I think when you're down 10 in a your season's on the line, I'm just letting Jared Goff do the passing.
Like, well, I mean,
not Jameson Williams. And
on Sunday, I don't know.
But I'm
or Saturday night.
I'm giving you credit,
you're making the quarterback do the passing. I don't know if you want Jared Goff doing the passing.
Well, I don't know if Teddy Bridgewater could have done the passing either. But here's the thing. I just think that you called it this season that they were risky. Yeah. And you thought it was going to eventually help your Philadelphia Eagles. It did, because their risky play calling and all of that caught up with them in this game. And the turnovers.
I mean, why they lost the game is they... They're up 7-3, driving, third and one. Jared Goff fumbles on one of the dumbest plays ever. Next drive, I think it was the next drive, he throws a pick six. Like, they were down, and then they couldn't stop get Washington off the field. They couldn't get him off. Well, they couldn't stop him from getting a first down again and again and again. Credit Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But to say that that call cost them the game is crazy to me, because weren't they down 10 at that point?
A lot of things cost them the game. That call didn't help. And then also add the 12 men on the field penalty when there was a crucial fourth down to start the fourth quarter.
It's just a mistake. Every team makes mistakes. I mean, you don't think like,
and those teams lose in this situation.
Even the Chiefs will probably have seven procedural mistakes. It's the NFL in 2024/25. Everybody makes. I don't know. That feels like
that was the only 12-man penalty of the weekend, right? Like you make mistakes, but that's an avoidable mistake.
I mean, Lane Johnson jumped on a tush bush.
Yeah,
that was a much bigger play than anything.
But they could have prevented the mistake by calling a timeout. Right. That's the problem. Is that
they
the
didn't
whole
see
sideline?
It. Whoever called a timeout, like the right guy, didn't see it.
Other that's the problem. Too, the guy who needed to see it didn't see it.
Eagles were ahead.
Well,
this
just
was
generally
trailing. I think it's a little bit different.
It's also one guy making one like athletic mistake. The 12-man penalty is a team penalty. Like that's
and the play call and the trick play is totally in your control. Like you're calling the play.
Right. But trick plays are, like, honestly, like, it's one of the reasons they were so good.
Yeah, they picked the wrong time to do that one.
But they did three trick plays in the game, and two were awesome.
But you always said your personnel is good enough just to beat you straight up. That's what you always said about the Lions. Why do they do this? Why do they do all these fourth down decisions? You're good enough just to win just by being who you are.
I didn't see Jared Goff choking. I just didn't know it was going to happen. I mean, then they had to adjust immediately. Like, they had to adjust fast. If they had gone out and gone up 14-3, then it would have been Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery all night long. But they had to try something. And honestly, like, I don't think you could have all the other trick plays and not that trick play. That's just my take. I understand what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
Listen, Jameson Williams, I thought there were two things that were going to kill the Lions. It was a fourth down in their own territory and Jameson Williams' personal foul. Now, I did not know that he was going to throw a pass.
Yeah. You were in the general area of what went wrong. You just had the what and the who. Well, the who you had right, it was the how. And the what?
Also, they'd also just come off a touchdown drive. Like their offense looked like it was getting back into rhythm. I know the Commanders just scored, but like you didn't give Goff a chance to try to settle into that game because you're screwing around with Jameson Williams throwing his pass.
Yeah, but were you screwing around when you had David Montgomery throw a shuttle pass?
No, but I think that's a way lower percentage. That's a higher percentage play than Jameson Williams throwing the ball 30 yards down the field.
Yeah, but you know the Lions do that stuff all the time. All the time. They've almost faked a fumble,
right, but
for God's sakes.
It doesn't mean that they're always right. Like, I'll defend their aggression, but doesn't mean every single one can't be questioned.
Oh, man. Okay, if that had worked, there's just no. You guys would probably be sitting here praising it.
I probably would have said, I can't believe they did that. They were lucky it worked. I think I would have said that.
And people would be like, have you watched the Lions? Because they'd be like, that is totally, like, that's who they are. They run trick plays.
Yeah, I don't think every trick play, every fourth and decision is created equal. Like, I don't think you get blanket.
What if David Montgomery, who's not a quarterback, that shuttle pass was in the middle of seven guys. It was an incredibly dangerous play.
Yeah,
what if that had gotten picked off? Would you have called that out?
All of those things are dangerous. Sometimes it's worth the danger. I didn't think that having Jameson Williams throw a pass in that situation was worth the risk.
It was a really low percentage play.
Not for the Lions. I mean, they hit.
Jameson Williams had not attempted a pass. How is that a high percentage play?
I think they hit. I don't know if they might have hit every single non-quarterback pass play. They missed one because Penny Sewell was throwing it. But I don't think their trick plays are a low percentage. I would like to see the data on that.
Jameson Williams had not attempted a pass all season long.
Yeah, neither had Monroe St. Brown. Neither had any of the other guys.
And don't you think week 10 is different than the divisional round? When you have Super Bowl expectations?
Not if you're the Detroit Lions and you're just you're that team. No, I don't think they treat Week 10 and the divisional round any differently. I think they're like, we're pedal to the metal all the time.
I also think you're saying we're playing the result, but I also feel like part of the reason why it did not work was because it was Jameson Williams. That's, I think, the point that maybe we're off on. Like, maybe if you do it on my same run, I feel like he would throw the ball away, or he may make a more accurate pass, because guess what? I've seen him throw passes. Jameson Williams.
How many have you seen him throw?
He had the trick play earlier this year.
Yeah, they did one earlier this year. I've seen that on my same round.
And how many? But he didn't have any before that. I mean, like.
Generally, right, but my point is that, yeah, like, it's the reason why it didn't work, I think, was in part because Jameson Williams didn't have the IQ to actually make the right play there. That's my issue. Don't put a guy who's not that bright in terms of football in that situation.
Yeah, let's not say football IQ, just to be fair.
I said in football.
Yeah,
we just all disagree on this one.
We do, and then we'll talk about Ben Johnson and his future now with the Chicago Bears. Bogish, thanks so much. Is this guaranteed to work? He was the prize of the offseason, I guess, along with Vrabel. 855-212-4227. Still asking you the question about Ohio State. Are they likable? Didn't realize that there was so much Ohio State backlash. They are your national champions of college football. We get back to it next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Normally we have EJ picks a Defensive Player of the Week and we debate and we talk about him, but it's so obviously Jalen Carter this week that I don't even know why we're doing this. Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle, please, hello.
I was trying to think if there was somebody from last night, though, college football national championship game, big defense.
The offensive coordinators who called a bunch of ridiculously boring plays.
I thought Caleb Downs had some nice plays last night.
Oh, he's so good. I want him on my pro team, but not last night. Last night there was no defense to be had because when Riley Leonard runs 47 times into the line.
Well, I mean, he still has to run into the guys.
Yeah, but it's hard to pick out which one tackle.
You know, who punched out the fumble?
Bernard.
Yeah, that's a good one.
No. Oh, that was in the Bills game. I was talking about last night.
The Notre Dame guy.
Bowen.
Yeah, but you can't give it to him.
I mean, yeah, you can't give it to him.
Team lost. He played well.
He played well.
Let's go to the four NFL games. The Eagles, Rams, the Bills, Ravens. How about the fumble? There you go.
Yeah, well, that's what he said. Terrell Bernard.
What about, Texans defense was great, but now this is tough. Jalen Carter, let's go.
Hit it, man.
Turn down. I thought that we all agreed that the audience is going to be turned off by that fight song.
Did we all say
it's the worst one? We all don't like it. Perloff doesn't even like it.
I concur.
I love it. What was it compared to? What was it?
It just sounds like a marching band.
What's the Bills on Mr. Brightside and You Make Me Wanna Shout? Yeah, I mean, listen, it's old schooly. I don't like it as much as a Sixers song, but the Eagles, obviously, Fly Eagles Fly. You could do the chant at the end. That's pretty cool. E-A-G-L-E-S, or however you want to spell it.
I like the fight song, and I like the way Jalen Carter played this weekend. The huge sack at the end of the game, of course, on Matt Stafford. One of two sacks he had in that game. The guy's an absolute monster. He's the Navy Federal Defensive Player of the Week.
Yeah.
This entire segment has wanted me to dry heave.
He is he's deserving. I just don't love that fight song. Although if we are going to rank them, I think the chant in Kansas City, the chop. First of all, you share it with the Braves, and you know, I don't know how it's just, and FSU. I think it's annoying to everyone who's not doing it, and it's just the same thing over and over again. So I think that would probably be number one. Fly Eagles Fly, number two, if we're doing our Mount Rushmore of annoying fight songs and fight things.
Right.
I don't know what the Texans do.
Yeah, some
Lions,
battle red kind of thing.
Commanders, they have a song.
We're talking about the how impressive was Ohio State's run over to win the national title. Jalen Carter didn't even start on the national title team for Georgia, I believe. Like, he was a backup. That's how, and he's the best defensive tackle in the world. That's how good teams used to be before NIL happened.
Wait, Jalen Carter was a starter on the national title team? Because then he got in all that trouble because of what happened afterwards, right?
Well, that was this. Maybe he was. Yeah. Well, the second one, he was the star. But it was such a crazy defensive line. He was like, would rotate in early on in his career because there were so many. There was Jordan Davis. There was like 20 pros on that defense at all times. That was like Jalen Carter, Georgia. That is a dominant national title college team. Never going to see that again.
We're asking if Ohio State's run to the national title was the most impressive or the least impressive you've seen. I say most because they had to go through the gauntlet of the college football playoff, and the season seemed dead in the water, and they turned it around and turned themselves into national champions. Rich is in California. Rich, we only have a few seconds, but we're talking about the Lions and their trick play that didn't work with Jameson Williams having to throw a pass. You think there was a reason behind it?
I actually do. That'd be that helmet that Jared Goff took to the jaw, because his play calling and his execution shortly thereafter was not the same as the beginning of that ball game.
That actually.
And while he may have passed the concussion protocol, I'm sure he was seeing maybe two or three of whatever it is he was looking at.
Yeah, listen, Rich, Jared Goff definitely got knocked out of the game. They had to bring in Teddy Bridgewater, thank you, who had just gotten to the team as their backup because he wasn't even in football this year. But I would still trust Teddy Bridgewater, an actual quarterback, to be completing passes over a wide receiver who has not attempted a pass all year.
Ah, man, Rich got me. That should have been my point against you guys at this argument. Jared Goff's concussion definitely affected that game in a major way.
Honestly, I'd rather have them run the Wildcat with Jahmyr Gibbs than what they did with Jameson Williams. 855-212-4227. All right, got an update on the Cowboys coaching search and more from the national title game next.